This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Noon hour of In the Loop with Landry and Lopez on Sports Radio 610. Breaking news out of the NFL. Not really breaking news, but Antonio Brown, we already knew that he was on his way out of Pittsburgh. He basically bid farewell to the Steeler Nation and Steeler fans today, said it's been a great 9 years, but it's time to move on. We already anticipated that, but Antonio Brown came out and said it. And we've talked about the nightmarish situation for Kyler Murray going to Jacksonville. Could you imagine, and I'm pulling my John McClain out again, John Lopez, could you imagine Antonio Brown going somewhere where they have a lot of cap space and could take on that type of contract, where they are in need of a receiver because their best receiver is about to turn 30. His name, by the way, T.Y. Hilton, the Texans killer. And where Andrew Luck could use some more weapons behind arguably the best offensive line in football. Could you imagine Antonio Brown going to the Indianapolis Colts?
I could. John McClain immediately hiked his leg, even though it wasn't the segment. He said there's no way they'll trade him to an AFC team. The Pittsburgh Steelers are not the Pittsburgh Steelers. If they're going to lose Le'Veon Bell probably, and they have to trade Antonio Brown. Do they really think they're going to be a Super Bowl contender next year? And they can't trade him to any AFC. The Pittsburgh Steelers are in a position of having to trade him, getting the best deal, draft picks, whatever it may be, for Antonio Brown. So I do disagree with John McClain on that, that they're going to trade him to wherever they can get the most back. Here's an idea right now. The Colts have the most cap money right now. You know who has the second most cap money right now?
Who?
The New York Jets. What if the Jets snag them both? Le'Veon Bell is already being rumored to go to the New York Jets. Obviously, the Colts were a rumor, and they kind of have quashed that idea. Texans, you know, not really a realistic thing. What if the Jets, all of a sudden, with Sam Darnold, say, you know what, we'll give you Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell? Unlikely, but they have $96 million of cap space, and it's the New York market. Any other market, any other team living in the shadow of the Giants for their entirety, the entirety of their existence, I would say, you know, no way they're going to do that. Why spend all that money? New York spends the money. New York does that.
I mean, it would be a splash. It would be a New York type splash. I don't know if I would want to put my young quarterback in that situation. I think Sam Darnold, they're already questioned, you know, how much of an alpha he is and how much of a leader he is.
Yeah, and then you bring here comes Antonio.
And Le'Veon Bell, you bring in those two personalities, it might be putting the quarterback in an awkward situation. But we've talked about Le'Veon Bell and him potentially coming to the Texans. We've talked about him potentially going to the Indianapolis Colts. And I know you said that you would be scared S-less if Le'Veon Bell ended up in Indianapolis. I wouldn't be as scared of that as I would be if Antonio Brown did. Because the Texans already, the Texans, number one, they can't stop T.Y. Hilton as it is. And that's when he has a bunch of schmucks on the opposite side of him that I've never even heard of. Could you imagine if the Texans defense had to stop T.Y. Hilton and Antonio Brown? It would be an absolute nightmare. And also, when it comes to, you know, weapons, we saw Marlon Mack basically shred the Texans defense in the playoffs. He had 908 yards last year, and he only did it on 195 attempts. He was averaging 4.7 yards per carry. So if you have Marlon Mack, you have the offensive line that the Colts have built because of what they've done in the draft, and then you add Antonio Brown and T.Y. Hilton to that mix, it's a scary proposition for me.
It is a scary proposition. Now, like I said, I would consider it very unlikely, but if any market is going to do it, it's going to be New York.
It's as likely there as it is anywhere else. You're talking about the Jets. I'm talking about the Colts.
Yeah, you know, I understand that, but I'm saying back to my point, and the reason I'm saying that is because I think one thing that we can agree on, maybe not, I think we can agree on it, Antonio Brown is a bigger mental head case than Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell could have gotten some bad advice. He could be headstrong and just want to get his while he can because he's a running back. Maybe he just, you know, he just, once he made the commitment to sit out, he said, well, you know, like Dwayne Brown, by God, I'm going to sit out, you know. But Antonio Brown, he missed a court date today on his, what was it?
100-plus mile per hour speeding ticket.
He's gotten this domestic abuse thing that was hanging over his head. You know, he's been a no-show for some events and such. Antonio Brown is a weird, divisive cat. I mean, he is unliked.
So are you saying that you wouldn't worry about him going to Indianapolis because you think maybe he could ruin things?
Exactly. I think Antonio Brown is a bigger problem wherever he ends up than Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, the Colts would terrify me.
There's already people on the text line, 713-572-4610, throwing out the possibility of him coming to the Texans. Not only is that not going to happen, I wouldn't even want that to happen. I like the receivers that the Texans have, and you already have DeAndre Hopkins, who does everything the right way. He is the prototypical class act in a position that's not known for having a lot of class. Regardless of who the quarterback is, you never hear him complain. His production never dips. I wouldn't even consider bringing in Antonio Brown into this locker room. And I like Will Fuller and Kiki Kuti as well. If with all the assets, even if it were possible and they could make it work, hell no to Antonio Brown coming here.
He's just such a weird cat, man. And I think it's not just, it's one thing to be a little bit off center, but I think he's a bad dude, like a bad seed. It's funny, Pro Football Talk on the heels of Antonio Brown tweeting goodbye to Pittsburgh. Pro Football Talk tweeted 10 minutes ago, there, per sources, there have been no recent developments between Antonio Brown and the Steelers. So basically, he just said goodbye. You know, I was taking it as they expect an announcement soon that something's happening, whatever they're going to do with Antonio Brown. No, he's just saying it.
At what point do teams start just completely eliminating the possibility of bringing in guys like Antonio Brown into their locker room? Like, at what point? Because you've seen troubled receivers in the past. You got Terrell Owens after his drama with Philadelphia. The Cowboys were willing to bring him in.
Right.
The Randy Moss situation with the New England Patriots. They traded a fourth rounder and had a historic season where they almost ran the table and went undefeated. The uniqueness of this Antonio Brown situation is, most of the time, and those two examples that I gave, whenever a team is willing to roll the dice on like a diva wide receiver, for lack of a better term, they're paying a low price.
Right.
Like Terrell Owens, I want to say it was a second round pick from the Dallas Cowboys.
But at what point do you say it's not worth any price?
Randy Moss was a fourth round pick. Antonio Brown is still very highly paid. So it's not like you're bringing in a guy that is a bargain price. You're paying premium price for a premium headache. People don't do that very often.
You know when you decide that you can't afford him, when they still expect a premium price. I mean, every team in the league is lowballing Pittsburgh right now. Now, lowballing,
but you're still going to have to take on that contract.
You're still going to take on the contract, but it'll be worth it in terms of draft equity that you're giving up. And maybe at some point you're going to be able to redo his deal. Maybe you're going to put him in the right situation with a good, you know, a good environment in the locker room or whatever. But either way, there's a point for everyone where you're like, no, thank you.
All right. In 2019, Antonio Brown's base salary is going to be $12 million. So $12.5 million.
That's not outrageous by superstar standards.
$12.6 million, and then the following season in 2020, $11 million, and then it goes up to 12.5 in 2021. So you're paying about $12 million per year for Antonio Brown.
That's not crazy. It's not crazy money. Because keep in mind how good he is. I mean, as good as DeAndre Hopkins is, and we think he's the best receiver in the NFL. On the field, people think Antonio Brown's better, by and large.
Not after this year.
Not after this year, but by and large, on the field, when he's got his stuff together.
When's he ever going to have his stuff together?
Again, there's a point where you're going to have to say, you know what, it's not worth even as good as he is. But right now is not that point yet, because he is that good.
At what point does Mike Tomlin, do you start kind of questioning the culture they got going on there when you have this Le'Veon Bell thing and you have this Antonio Brown thing?
You can easily say that Mike Tomlin, he's not the reason that there's this dysfunction, but he's enabled it. You know, he's been a player's coach his entire life.
There was a story that came out about the enabling of Antonio Brown where he would show up late, 20 minutes, to the point where even his teammates were defending him, saying, who cares if he shows up late?
Right.
That's not the way to run a program.
It's one thing to be a player's coach, but you still have to have kind of the reins on everybody, you know, and certainly the reins on the program itself, you know, your organization. Things just started getting out of control, and he's never reined it back in. He's not the reason Antonio Brown is a weirdo or Le'Veon Bell is being belligerent here about his contract, but he's enabled both, you know, and that's the problem.
It's In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Landry Locker, John Lopez. I think it would be a nightmare for Antonio Brown to go to the Colts. You don't think it would be too bad because of character. I think the biggest nightmare of all, though, would be Kyler Murray, who's going to be in the NFL draft. He's committed to football, going to Jacksonville. I listed the reasons earlier.
Yeah.
Tom Coughlin isn't the type of guy who is typically open to bringing in a guy like Kyler Murray. And the reason is because he subscribes to the George Young QB grading system.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not familiar with the George Young QB grading system, this is a little background on it. It basically attaches a letter grade to your number rating as a player. So in other words, if you watch a player and you think he has A talent, he gets an A.
Yeah.
After that, on a 9-point system, if you earn a 7 to an 8, which is very high, but you were undersized compared to the average NFL specifications, according to that position's average size, they put a C next to it.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever there's a C, C serves as a red flag.
Right. And that's so, every position?
That's every position. It's just at the quarterback.
Okay.
It's just at quarterback. So they do the same thing with speed, quickness, awareness, other attributes that receive letter grades. The grades then disallow a club from choosing that player in the first round or, depending on importance, the second round.
Right.
So if you have a letter by you, Kyler Murray, who's probably going to measure at 5'10", would automatically have it. Unless Tom Coughlin has just completely changed the way that he does things, then the possibility of them drafting Kyler Murray would be completely eliminated.
It's almost as if Tom Coughlin, I mean, you know, he's going to have to just change being Tom Coughlin at age 70.
How often does that happen?
Doesn't happen. So, I mean, unless somebody can convince him, you know, and Marone, you know, who knows if he's even going to be the, you know, if he even has a say with Tom Coughlin. If he says, you know what, this is the guy, we can do this, tries to state the case for Kyler Murray. That's if Kyler Murray's available, too. Now, we know that Kyler Murray's not going to go number one overall today because the owner, Bidwell, pretty much said
from Arizona said
they're going to stick with Josh Rosen. So, but I mean, there's a lot of teams on the top of the list that need a quarterback.
And just to be clear, I don't know that Kyler Murray is going to be great in the NFL. I think he could be okay in the right situation, but I think of all the possible situations, Jacksonville is the situation that fits him the best because they're going to get their left tackle back in Cam Robinson, and because the interior of their O-line is so good, and because they have DeFilippo as their new offensive coordinator, and I think his style and his mindset could benefit a guy like a Kyler Murray. And oh, by the way, they have the 5th overall defense in the league, even when they were a dumpster fire last year.
I think Miami is a real possibility.
That's a 13th pick in the draft, though. You think he's going to be there at 13?
Well, they could be in 13. You can move up. You know,
they cut Ryan Tannehill. That's $13 million saved. The dream scenario
mm-hmm.
would be Miami cuts Ryan Tannehill and then he goes to Jacksonville.
And of course, 6 overall is the New York Giants, and you know, quarterback like that in New York on the other side of the Jets. You know, and Darnold.
That'd be interesting, but I just don't. I don't know if the Giants are gonna do it.
Saquon and Kyler Murray in the same backfield.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see. You know who? Because Haskins right now out of Ohio State, he has the best arm talent, and they haven't really. He seems like the guy that teams are gonna fall most in love with. But Kyler Murray's gonna be that wild card, and I think Kyler Murray's gonna be a top 10 pick. If it's Jacksonville at 7. I'm going to be trembling.
I think Miami and Jacksonville would scare me the most. Miami's not in the division, but I think they're. All of a sudden, you know, in the AFC, they're going to be right there.
At what point does Jacksonville, though, look in the mirror and say, you know what? 2 drafts ago, we passed on Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
Stupid us.
Yeah.
Last draft, we passed on Lamar Jackson. Stupid us. At some point, you got to get one of these rookie quarterbacks mm-hmm. because we also know this in Houston. They know this in Kansas City. It's a very, very huge asset to have a quarterback on his rookie deal. And it's going to be interesting to see if Jacksonville does that or if they go the veteran route and they bring in Nick Foles, which is what Lauren Rue from Jacksonville told us that she believes they're going
to
do.
Nick Foles is the most obvious one, but I have a hunch that Marone a lot of people in the organization are going to be, you know, angling for Murray, if nothing else, for their own job security. You know, John kind of agreed with me on this point. You know, he brings in Kyler Murray. He extends his own career.
And this is the other thing you could do if you are Tom Coughlin and you have ties to Eli Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Manning might get released by the Giants.
Yeah, that's true.
You could sign him to a one-year deal, and then you could draft a rookie quarterback and have Eli Manning just basically hold the fort down for a little bit, mm-hmm, until you think that rookie's ready. So just because they do sign a veteran quarterback doesn't mean they couldn't draft a rookie and mold him as well. It'll be interesting to see, and we'll definitely have our eyes on it here as free agency approaches, 29 days away to be exact, but who's counting? Coming up next, why the Texans could benefit from the signing of Kareem Hunt in Cleveland. That's next in The Loop with Landry and Lopez on Sports Radio 610.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.